Better. Chapter 34. That's where we want to open our Bibles to. Ezekiel 34. And, you know, coming up, let's see, a couple things coming up. Number one, Saturday, a work day. If you would like to give us a hand, help a little bit to prepare for Sunday evening. Sunday evening is our harvest festival. That's this coming Sunday. Now, Saturday also, after the work day, everybody set their clocks back. You don't want to forget that. God forbid that you wouldn't know what time it was. That's happening this Saturday. And starting at, I can't remember, 10 o'clock? Does that sound right to you guys? 10 o'clock for those that want to help with the Harvest Festival setup. Is it 10 o'clock? Does anybody know? Let's just say 10. If it's 9, others will be here eating the donuts when you get here. So if you could help, they could use some help. I know that many have signed up, so just, you know, follow your sign-up thing. And that's coming Saturday. And then Sunday afternoon, right after second service, they'll take this place apart and set up for Sunday evening. Sunday evening is Halloween. We don't celebrate Halloween, but we have the alternative, and we'll just be here. And so you come on out. I have a great picture of Pat Brown with wings on. Maybe I could get that up there on the screen for our harvest. I don't know where it came from, but I saw it today and I thought that's great. Anyway, I could sell those on eBay. They tell me you could sell everything on it. Anyway, I don't know how I got that, Pat. You must have given it to me. You had wings on. It's beautiful wings. They were nice. Then there's Clayton. I have a picture of Clayton, too, so maybe we'll put those up there together. Okay, Ezekiel chapter 34. Is your Bible there? And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel. They do, or shepherds of Israel, that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? The false prophets, the shepherds, the leaders, the spiritual leaders, as well as other leaders could be included here, the false prophets of Israel have been shown to be wrong. As you've looked through the last 33 chapters of the book of Ezekiel. And God has been warning them all along. You have been called to a position to oversee God's children, to oversee God's people. It is a high calling, a holy calling. You're not worthy, but God called you. And the false prophets are false. I hate to say it that way, but that's what they are. They're shown to be what they truly are, false prophets, the false shepherds of Israel. He says this, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, verse 3 says, and ye clothe you with the wool. You kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. That's twice he said that. The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd. And they became food to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. The false prophets. Now, God turns his attention. He's been, pronouncing the judgments, as that's the best way to say it, against the nations round about. Israel has been judged. Jerusalem is completely destroyed, as you recall. And now God turns and says, you know whose fault it is? the spiritual leaders, the false prophets, the false teachers, they should have been guarding the flock of Israel. They should have been feeding them. They should have been feeding those sheep. And what you're going to feed the sheep isn't grass or beef or whatever it is. He's talking about his word. They were not feeding the sheep his word. And so the sheep were weak. They were very unhealthy. They didn't understand the right way to go because nothing personal, because we are all sheep, but sheep are stupid. And they don't know on their own. And they believe the spiritual leaders that are set before them. The trouble is, God didn't set those spiritual leaders. Many of them, he never placed them there. They placed themselves there. And that's a real problem. That's what makes them false. When God said to Ezekiel, "You say this," or when he said to Jeremiah, "You tell the people this," you will go back, if you will, and read through those, and you'll notice that what Ezekiel was saying, what Jeremiah was saying, completely different than what the majority of the spiritual leaders were saying. Completely different. So the people had to discern, had to make a determination. Well, the people weren't spiritually healthy enough to do that. Why weren't they? Because they had not been being fed. Try that. Say that. The Word of God. They didn't know their Bibles. Just exactly, I believe, like we are today. We don't know our Bibles. And because we don't, well, we're a mess. The false shepherds of Israel should have been guarding the flock of Israel against wolves. What happened was they became the wolves themselves. They were actually eating the sheep up, tearing them up, destroying them. God will tell you in a few verses down the road, God will say, "You are the blame that judgment has come upon this nation." Now those are pretty big words. That's a lot of responsibility to carry on your shoulders. To take full blame for the destruction of Jerusalem, to take full blame for the destruction of all of Israel. God says it's the false shepherds who are the problem. He expected those men and those women of God, the prophets, the prophetesses, and all those in spiritual leadership, he expected them to walk with him, to know him, and to tell the people his word, and they weren't doing that. Instead, he says they put their own interests above the people. Their own interests. They take care of themselves. Notice he says that in verses 1 through 6. Taking care of themselves. They continued to get rich. They continued to get and gather, literally, while Israel continued to wander further and further from the Lord. Well, you know, he makes that point when he says they were scattered because there's no shepherd. See, God's people wandered off. I mean, they're following all kinds of different strange gods and religions and rites and etc. They don't even know what's right anymore because the teachers weren't teaching the Bible. They weren't teaching God's word. They continued to get rich and to get for themselves while Israel continued to wander further from the Lord. And God continued to send messages, "Turn back to me, turn back to me." But the majority of the prophets, the majority of the shepherds, the majority of the teachers weren't coming out with that message. They were coming out with this message. Everything is groovy. Yeah, you're everything. It's fine. Keep on doing what you're doing. God's never going to crush this place. You know, those few people that went into captivity, they'll be here and it won't even be 2.5 to 3 full years. They'll be here. They're coming back. Don't panic. Just keep on going. They made themselves names in the land of Israel. They were household names. In other words, they were famous. They were called to be spokesmen for the Lord, to speak out his word. And what happened is they literally became celebrities. They were too important. They were too busy, you know, making sure that there was a star on their dressing room door that they couldn't tell the truth. Because eventually you start telling the truth and people aren't going to appreciate it. I mean, how do you think the sheep are going to take it when you say you're all a bunch of weasels? Stop it right now or God's going to smash you. And people are going to go, I really don't like that message. You know, you're offending me. You're hurting my inner puppy. And so you can't stay famous that way. They made themselves names in the land. Well, you can't keep a name that's a nice name if you're going to start telling the truth during all of this. They were taking collections in the temple. But they were not ministering the word of God. They were basically building their own little empires and their own little kingdoms. Have you caught on that I'm describing most big ministries today? Take a look at the television. Just watch them. And I watch some guys and girls that get up there and I'm thinking, is that your real name? Is that a show name? You know, a lot of people, when they go into show business, they change their name, supposedly to protect their family. And you see some of these men and women get up and they're, you know, they've got $10,000 watches on. And you think, is that your real name? Tithe? Mr. You know, Reverend B. Tithe? Wow. How did your parents know you were going to do, you know? Yeah, I'm going, wow. They take care of themselves only. They continue to get wealthy and names. They're building their own kingdoms. They were living, listen to this. If you'll go back and look at history, they were living in multi-million dollar homes. Can you imagine a preacher, a prophet of the living God living in a multi-million dollar house? Except Jeremiah wasn't. He spent a lot of time in the mud in prison. Ezekiel wasn't. He was taken captive early on, and he's been living the great life in, Eastern Babylon. It's where he was living. They missed out on it somehow. They were driving Rolls Royces back then, too, you know. One of the pastors, I told you, I heard him say this. I heard him say it on television. He said, those of you complaining that I'm driving a Rolls Royce, what do you expect me to drive? A Honda? And I remember thinking when he said that, I couldn't afford a new Honda. Yeah, if you could drive that, you're doing all right, dude. But he didn't seem to think so. That wasn't his point. His point was something totally different. You know, he could drive a $100,000 car. Why would he drive a $40,000 one? While they were being harsh on the sheep of Israel, on the people of Israel, saying things like this, oh, you're not healed? Well, it's your fault. It's your faith. Where's your faith? Don't look at me. Where's your faith? They let the wolves in, and they became wolves themselves, to scatter the sheep. They didn't feed the sheep, so the sheep were, I mean, it's logical. The sheep are not healthy. So they can't run as fast. They can't get away. They don't think as clearly. Now, we put us all into spiritual application because God calls, these are people we're talking about, calls them his sheep. You're the shepherds and you're literally scattering the sheep. And the sheep don't know any better. They look to you as a shepherd to help them, to encourage them, to point them away, to get them turned around and also to help take care of them. And God says, you're not doing it. So basically, he says, woe be to the shepherds of Israel. The message, I am convinced, although this was thousands of years ago, the message, I'm convinced, has not changed. Woe to those who enter into ministry, first of all, that aren't called. What kind of fool would enter into full-time ministry preaching the gospel that is not called to do it? just because they're looking for some sort of glory, or they see the people on TV and those people live in multi-million dollar homes. As a matter of fact, I just read one really popular one who I won't mention because you guys love him and listen to him. I understand now he's got a third home that's $2.5 million. He has one in California, one in Florida, and now one somewhere up in Northern California. A third home at $2.5 million. And he's one of the good ones. So I keep thinking I'm doing it wrong. And verse 7 says, therefore, because of that, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey and my flock became food to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds. And I will require my flock at their hand and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves anymore, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be food for them. God holds the shepherds responsible for the trouble that his flock is in. Do you see that? God holds the shepherds of Israel responsible. Now, the next time you say, I really want to take a position in ministry as an overseer, you think about what you are saying. And make sure, if that's a desire of your heart, make sure God has called you. Because, first of all, it needs to be a real call. It's got to be sure. Second of all, once he's called you, there's no backing out saying that you were not as smart as everybody or you made mistakes, because God is going to be holding you. He holds me. He holds all shepherds responsible for the flock. He says, I hold you completely responsible. God will judge them, and there will be a greater judgment. And he says he'll remove them. All the leaders and the false prophets. I will deliver my flock, he says, from the mouths of the shepherds. And all he's saying, basically, if you're wondering what that means, is the shepherds are no longer going to get rich and grow fat off of my sheep. God blames the shepherds for the ruin of Israel. Wow. Isn't that amazing to you? Every one of us has a responsibility to study the Bible. That's according to what Paul tells Timothy. Not because Timothy's a young pastor, but that's what Paul tells to Timothy. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's not just for Timothy, a young pastor. That's for you. That's for me. That's for all Christians. We have a responsibility. So you can't say, well, I didn't know, but here's what Bob says. No, wait. God will get me. Don't you worry about that. He will judge me. There's a greater judgment coming for anyone who teaches the Bible. But that's not going to let you off the hook. You say, well, he just said, yeah, but that was before Jesus died on the cross, paid the price, called you into his family and filled you personally with his Holy Spirit. Thank you. Doesn't take away from the responsibility that I have. Just adds to the responsibility you have. Thank you. I feel better. Luke chapter 12. Jesus, the end of a parable. Luke chapter 12, verse 48. Talking about judgment. You can read the whole parable yourself. I'm just going to read the last part here. Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 48. But he that knew not or did not know and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with a few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Those of you that have been to Bible college, there is more required of you at this moment than those who haven't. Those of you who have been to North Country Chapel, you are going verse by verse. You're not getting anything much different than you would get at Bible college. There is more required of you than there is required of the people down the road that go to the First Church, the Apostle Paul, wonders and signs following. Because you know more of what God's Word says than most people do. Not because I'm a great teacher, but because we have read it together verse by verse. More is required of you. To whom much is given, much is required. I've been called into the ministry. To whom much is given, much is required. I have no excuse. My wife teaches Bible studies. Just got back from women's retreat. To whom much is given, then much is required. You can't say, well, I misunderstood this verse or I'm not sure about it. No, you've got to, when you're teaching it, you have to be prepared. Know what God says and you just have to do it. Knowing full well that there's a greater judgment. We can't play with it. Jesus' most scathing words were to hypocrites. You get a good old, you know, a first class perverted sinner, and Jesus would say, don't sin anymore. Go your way. You get a hypocrite, and Jesus would say things that surprise you that he's saying. For instance, you are sons of snakes. You think you're on your way to heaven. You won't even get half that far. And others who are trying to get there, you're keeping them from going. You're in trouble, dude. That's what that was a paraphrase. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the doctors of the law, those were the shepherds of Israel. And Jesus' most scathing words were to them, you're not helping. Jesus saw the sheep of Israel. Now remember, those spiritual leaders are there, dressed very nicely, driving the nicest things, living in great luxury. Many of them were millionaires, the millionaires of their day. But Jesus still looked at the people and saw them as sheep without what? Sheep without a shepherd. And there are those Bible college grads right there among them, supposedly teaching them and showing them the way. Notice God has an opinion when it comes to false shepherds, false teachers. And he doesn't pull any punches. And you notice it's important to him. Why? He loves those people. When he loves people, he gives them leaders. When those leaders go off and get weird, God says, we're not going to have that. And then God deals with it. So God says, I blame the shepherds for the ruin of Israel. Why? Because the shepherds should have been teaching God's word and they weren't. They were saying the opposite. God said, repent. They were saying, don't bother. It's all right. They were not telling the people God's word. Today, what you need, what I need, what we need is God's word. And it is, let's be honest, many times the last thing we want to hear. Well, I'm hurting and I'm tired and nobody loves me and they don't understand. God says do this. Don't tell me that. I don't want to hear that right now. No, no, no. You're a child of God. Stop whining. And this is what God says to do. Do that. You're harsh. You're unloving. Whatever. You call me. You just give me a name. I'll take it. But here's what the Bible still says. And if somebody loves you with the gift of exhortation, they're going to do that. They're going to have that gift in operation. And they're going to be saying, here's the way. Walk in it. Well, yeah, we speak it in love, but we still have to speak the truth. And it's not so popular. But here's good news. Though the teachers were not teaching God's word, God still will make sure. Notice, though the Pharisees, and the Sadducees, and the doctors of the law, though they were sort of telling the people the law kind of thing, they weren't living it. They looked like it on the outside, but they weren't. They were full of dead men's bones. Remember that. And Jesus came along and said to the people, I'm the shepherd. Follow me. Here's how we walk. And the law says this, and here's what I say. Well, Lord, who could do that? Nobody. Remember when the apostle said, well, Lord, the disciples said, man, I mean, if that's the case, who could do that? Nobody could be saved. Remember when they said that? And Jesus said, well, with men, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Now, look at the next verses here. Verse 11. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, and maybe if you're a Bible underliner, great place to have underlined, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. Do you hear what he just said? I will be the shepherd. I will do it, God says. As a shepherd seeks out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick, but I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. God says, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. I will be the shepherd. I will shepherd my people. I like it. This is a promise. You recognize it right away. No one has to tell you. You already recognize that God is talking about Messiah. You know it. You've read the New Testament, so you know. God is saying, I will do it. I'll do it myself. God will be the shepherd of Israel, of his sheep, is what he says. And God did that, didn't he? God came down to this earth as a man and dwelt among us. And you know who we're talking about. The name people don't want to hear. Jesus Christ. Jesus. From heaven. Took off the robes of glory and came down here. And what did he say about himself? In John chapter 10. I'll read you 11 through 15, but read the whole chapter when you get some time. John chapter 10, verses 11 through 15. Jesus says this. Because remember, God said, I will be the shepherd. I'll take care of my sheep. I'll do it. Jesus says in John 10, 11 through 15, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, he sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs. And the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and he does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. Or in our language, I know my sheep, and they know me. As the Father knows me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now you go back to Ezekiel 34, and you see God say this, I will gather them. In other words, God says, I will be their shepherd. And Jesus, God in human flesh, says, I am the good shepherd. And I know my sheep, and they know me. And sheep know their shepherd. As you watch flocks of sheep, you see that they know their shepherd. And the shepherd knows his sheep. King David says this. And I know that you've read Psalm 23 at least once or twice in your life. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord's my shepherd. You see, once he said, the Lord is my shepherd, it's great that he said the rest, but he didn't need to say, he restores my soul. He leads me beside still waters. He feeds me. He sets a place for me, a table in front of my enemy. You go through. It's a short little psalm. He didn't have to say all that. It was all said when he said this: the Lord is my shepherd. He'll feed me. He'll protect me. He will always care for me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you're with me. You're riding your staff. You remember all that. The Lord, David says. God says this: I will bring them out and gather them from the countries and bring them back to their own land. That's a promise, everybody. And in Ezekiel chapter 34, I got to tell you, he's talking about Israel. Oh, we're coming in later into the picture, the church, but he's talking about Israel in Ezekiel 34. If you think that God is finished with Israel, and many people teach that, they're called amillennialists. That means meaning without. Without a millennium. They don't believe in a thousand-year millennial reign. So they're called amillennialists. And I understand more and more people are going that way. I understand that Hank Hanegraaff has now become one of those. But you see, when you go that way, you really begin to adopt the teaching that God is finished with Israel in the Old Testament, and now the church has become Israel in the New Testament, and God has nothing to do with Israel that does exist. Well, God shows you right here, not so. I'm going to feed them, he says. I'm going to bring them back to their own land. Well, where are they now? The ones that are still living. Some are in Egypt. Some were up scattered around Assyria up north there. They're kind of a mess. Some have gone south and east, Moab and that whole area. Many are much further east. Lots of them are over in Babylon. They're scattered around the planet, around the world. And God says, I'll bring them back. I'm the shepherd. I'll go find them. The shepherd knows his sheep, and he'll go wherever the sheep are scattered to. He'll get them, and he'll bring them back because they're his sheep, and he loves them, and he cares for them. A hireling is going to take off when there's real trouble. A hireling basically does it for the money. And a hireling, when the pressure gets on, doesn't want the pressure, doesn't need the pressure. And so the hireling's going to fold. Going to give up and go. A friend of mine, at one time, he was wanting to teach at his church verse by verse. His church was an evangelical free church. So it was not common for them to teach verse by verse. They would teach a message. And he was a good teacher when he would teach his message. It was a pretty good message. But he really liked this idea of verse by verse. He really could see it makes a difference. So he did it for one or two Sundays, and his board, the church government pattern that they use is an elder-run church. So his church board of elders called him in and told him that he will not teach verse by verse anymore, that the people find it too boring, and they don't want to hear that. They also told him that he will start wearing a tie, and they told him he will study so many hours per day. They told him when he will make hospital visits, and it had to be on a schedule, and he had to get it a little signature from the hospital staff proving that he was there. And he had to report to them how many houses he'd visited and all this. And he came to me and he told me that, and he said, pray for me because, this is what they want me to do. And, of course, I'm a little bit more free than that when it comes to the tie and the etc. And I told him, you, my friend, are a hireling. You are being paid to do the will of people who I don't even believe listen to God. So you just need to quit. Go down the road. Tell everybody this Sunday, because I learned this from Pastor. Tell everybody this Sunday, next week, we're going to meet down the street. Anybody that wants to go verse by verse, come on. Everybody else, God bless you. It's been a real slice of heaven. He wouldn't do it. He prayed about it, and he just was afraid that would cause trouble for his family, and they had house payments, and they had, the usual. But you don't want to be a hireling. And so God says this: I will go get them. I care about them. where they've been scattered. I'll go get them. And then he says, I will feed them. I'll make sure they're fed. Now, he's not talking about the children of Israel needing better food. They're eating. They're in Babylon. I mean, they're getting maybe not three squares, but they're eating. He's not talking about food, everybody. He's talking about spiritual food. His word. He's going to make sure that they get his word. Jesus will tell you, I am the bread of life from heaven. You got to eat my body, drink my blood. You know, I am the life. We're talking spiritual food when he says, I will feed them in good pastures and they will lie down and they will be safe. And I think you and I can see as we look over toward Israel today that this is still future. Although many are back in the land, not all but many, they are not safe yet. Notice, if you watch the news, if you haven't noticed lately, just take a look at any news, whether it's the internet or television, wherever you get your news, radio, you're going to hear about Israel and what's going on. They're not safe yet. He hasn't got them where they are lying down and safe. They are still building walls to defend themselves, and there are still strikes here and attacks there, and there are bombings in there, you know. So this is yet future, but it's going to happen. And he also says, when he loses a sheep, the shepherd goes out and finds them. He says, I'll find them. I'll go and get them where they are. Jesus tells us about a shepherd or a man who had 100 sheep. You remember him telling us that. And he says, and one was lost. What did he do? He left the 99, left them in good hands. It's not like he left them alone, didn't care about them. The 99 were solid. He went to find the one that was missing. In other words, he started with 100 and he will end with 100 is what Jesus was teaching us. All that I have, all that are mine, I will end up on that day with them. You'll be there if you're truly his, is what he's saying. Now, listen what this doesn't mean, Pastor. Doesn't mean that if your church is growing and you've got 100 people or 50 people or 60 people and a family leaves, it doesn't mean that you must go after them and try to find them and bring them back. And if you don't bring them back, you've lost them. No, no, that's got nothing to do with you, Pastor. Calm down. They are God's sheep. And what he means by that isn't they will always be at your church. What he means by that is they will always be his and he will not lose them. Some people learn one way and some people learn another. So, Pastor, as you teach them, you have to know that everybody can't be ministered to by you. Sometimes they just plain won't like your personality. I have that problem. Some people just don't like that. Sometimes they won't like the way that you do it. You could read the Bible and say, Jesus wept, and people get up and leave. Why'd they leave? Didn't like it. Well, they need to get to some place where they can hear. The fear always is, of a pastor that really wants to do it right, the fear is they're going to get up and go someplace stupid. Someplace that is going to have some false shepherds in the crowd at feeding them junk food or whatever, you know, comes down the next wind of doctrine that comes through. They start feeding them that. And so pretty soon you've got unhealthy sheep. I don't mean to get gross, but the truth is the Bible clearly shows us and life shows us healthy sheep beget other sheep. I don't mean to be gross, but that's the truth. Healthy sheep beget sheep. And so if you're feeding the Word of God to your youth group or to your junior hires or to your women's study or to your men's study or to that little group at work or however you're doing it, if the Word of God is going forth and the Lord is teaching them, they're healthy, they're strong, they will share with others and others will come to Jesus because healthy sheep beget sheep. So you don't have to worry about building a kingdom or making big numbers. You just should teach God's word, and that's what they weren't doing. So God says, I'll gather them. I won't lose any of them. I'll gather them. Look at verse 17. As for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle. Okay, when he says, as for you, O my flock, even though he's speaking to Israel, make sure you know he's talking to me and you too, because we're part of his flock now also. Ready? As for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, verse 17 says, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between rams and goats, the he-goats. Seemeth it, or does it seem a small thing to you to have eaten up the good pasture? But you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures. And to have drunk of the deep waters, but you must foul the residue with your feet. And as for my flock, they eat that which you have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which you have fouled with your feet. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God unto them, behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat cows and the lean cows. Now remember, he's talking spiritually. He's not looking at our size. Because you have thrust with side and with shoulder and pushed all the diseased with your horns till you have scattered them away or abroad. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. God says to his flock, now he's finished warning the false shepherds. Those are in positions of shepherds, but who are not feeding the sheep. The sheep are weak. They are sick. They are nervous. They scatter. They're being judged. They've been crushed. They've been scattered now all around the world. And God says, and you don't care about them at all. You only care about what you've got and what you're doing and your thing. So God says, I'll take care of it. I'll be the shepherd. And then God says to the flock, after he's talked about the shepherds, now he says to the sheep, you and I, us, all his flock. He says, I judge righteously. I judge between sheep and sheep. Between cattle and cattle, between sheep and goat. In other words, God says, I know the hearts, and there's going to be some separating going on. Of course, you remember Jesus talking about when the Son of Man returns, how he will take some time and separate the sheep from the goats. The sheep will enter into the millennial kingdom. The goats won't go. Somebody asks, how do you tell the difference? That's easy. Sheep go bah, goats go but. But what about, but, and you know, recognize a goat right away. That's John 10:14. I'll remind you again. After God says, I judge righteously, I judge between sheep and sheep. John 10:14, Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and they know me. Jesus knows each one of us by name. He knows those that are his. And he knows those that are not. Now, you and I don't know. What a scary thought. We can know and we can have assurance of our own salvation. 1 John is written so that you will know that you're saved, he says. Chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, read through that. Briefly, he'll say, I write this so that you will know that you're born again, that you're his. So you need to have assurance of salvation. If you're not sure, you're going to be a little nervous. You're not going to share. You're going to be too worried about yourself all the time. You need to be free to know that you belong to the Lord by grace through faith so that you can minister to others. But Jesus says he knows those that are his, but you and I do not. And we have this tendency to try to figure it out, don't we? Do this. Yeah, I don't think he's saved, man. He's in prison now. You can't be in prison and be saved. Of course you can. Of course you can. It is by grace. Of course you can. So you better stop it because you don't know. Here's what you got to do. Concentrate on you. I got to concentrate on me. I can't tell if you're saved. If you tell me you're saved, I believe you until you show me otherwise. And then I can't say anything except, I don't know if you're truly saved, but I can honestly say you're not acting like it. I still can't say whether you are or not because I do not know. You can't say whether she's saved. So what? She got herself into trouble. So what? She wandered off. You do not know what's going on in that girl's heart. Get off her back. Pray for her if you can see she's living a non-Christian life. She may be in the flesh or he may be whatever. We don't know, but Jesus knows. And there's coming a time. That's why he says, I judge between cattle and cattle, between sheep and sheep, between sheep and goat. I know. So we leave it with him. We have this tendency to say, well, she's not saved. How do you know? Well, look at her. He's not saved. How do you know? Listen to him. No. You missed it. You do not know a heart. You cannot see a heart, but God can. So we humbly, leave it in his hands. We don't try to separate the sheep from the goats ourselves. Some of us have a responsibility to defend the flock. And so we pray and we make decisions based on God's word, what the Holy Spirit is telling us we believe. We don't have the right to say to a man or a woman, you're not saved, we don't want you around. But we do have every right and responsibility to say, whether you are saved or not, we don't want you around. We can't judge the heart, but we can say, you're after the girls, get out. You're unloving, whatever, get out. You're not welcome until you come back with a whole different attitude, and that will show in actions. Sometimes that's a responsibility of the overseers, of the shepherd. You've got to protect the sheep. Then the sheep get mad because he was cute. Where's that guy? He had this cutest brown eyes. He's not welcome here anymore. Well, I'm leaving. I just don't. This door swings both ways. It goes in and out. Someone has a responsibility. And as you can see, God is going to hold shepherds responsible for the flock. Someone has to take oversight. And if you're wrong, just get expect to get zapped. Well, the goats are the ones that follow the teachings and listen and the conducts of the false shepherds. But we can't determine what's going on in their hearts. So we just warn them. He says, what the goats do is they trample on the other sheep. They try to get people to follow them. They draw sheep off the main part of the body or part of the flock. Try to get them into their corner, into their team. I see young men do that quite often. Well, I've seen older guys do it too, but it's very common for a young person early in ministry. He's got to be popular. He's got to be liked. If people like me, then you got a team. And then, of course, when he gets in some trouble and gets himself the left foot of fellowship, then everybody likes him and they want to go with him or they want to follow. And that's how you see churches hurt and people are tricked and people had no idea what was going on with this person, what they were doing. They just followed because he was such a cute dude and a lot of fun, or dudette, and she was a lot of fun. But God says they trample on the other sheep. They give them poor, poor counseling, counseling that is not godly counseling. They help scatter sheep. He says they muddy the streams. They stamp around. They get themselves a nice, good, clear drink. And then they stomp around in the water. And just it's muddy and you got all the silt and yuck floating around. And that's what the other sheep ended up having to drink after this goat went through, leaving the water almost undrinkable. He says they push and they shove and they butt at the other sheep to hurt them, to drive them away. So God says, I will judge between sheep and sheep. Because God is the one who knows who is who. That's God's job. So leave it with him. If you see somebody that's struggling, that maybe has an attitude that you think, I'm not sure they're safe, don't even go there. Just begin to pray for that individual. Lord, it looks like they're struggling with attitude or with temper or with their actions are just plain out of line. Lord, We need to help them to deal with this. Because Galatians 6:1 says that's how you handle that kind of thing. And Matthew 18 says that's how you handle it. And Matthew 5 says this is how you handle it. And so we handle it the way the Bible says. We don't make any judgments of heart. So when Matthew 7:1 says, judge not, lest you be not judged, it is not talking about what some of you think. Because one of the pastors walk up to you and say, hey, we don't want you acting like that here. And they go, you're judging me. Absolutely, we're judging. Not your heart to condemnation. We're judging for identification. We identify that that's lousy language. We don't want it here. You're judging me. Absolutely right. Matthew 7:1 is talking about judging to condemnation. That part we can't do because we don't know hearts. God promises again, he'll be the good shepherd, notice. And we follow him. Look at verse 25, almost done. Verse 25 says, and I will make with them a covenant of peace. Will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. We're talking about Jerusalem on the mountain there of God. And I will cause the shower to come down in this season. There shall be showers of blessing. And the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase, and they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Lord. When I have broken the bands of their yoke, and delivered them out of the hand of those that serve themselves of them. And they shall no more be a prey to the heathen, neither shall the beast of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. Once again, you can see that's future. Right now, they're basically in the hands of the heathen, and they're being ripped up and down. And I will verse 29, I will raise up for them a plant of renown. And they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen anymore. Thus shall they know that I am the Lord, or their God, the Lord their God, am with them. I got to read that again. That was messed up. Thus shall they know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God. And you, my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. It's a chapter of really good news after you get over the fact that he's going to judge harshly the false shepherds. It's a reminder, verses 25 through 31, as we finish this, it's a reminder of the covenant of peace that God has made with his people. That's good news as Ezekiel speaks it out and all of these people in captivity in Babylon, wondering, Jerusalem's been crushed and gone, and they're wondering what next. Has God forgotten us? Have we gone so far that there's no returning? What's coming? And God reminds them of his promise. A covenant of peace I'll make with you, he says. God promises to do away with all the uncertainties that they're dealing with, such as strange weather patterns. Remember, they were having droughts. They were having famines. It was just getting weird. God says, I'll do away with those weird weather patterns. I'll do that. I'll do away with the dangers of the wild animals and the troubles that they cause. You know, wild animals can cause you troubles. Just reading again, or we were talking about the guy that played dead. You know, a bear was after him. He played dead. And so he wrote a little note after he lived, but he got cut up pretty bad. He said, man, don't ever play dead. If a bear's after you, get away somehow. I thought, yeah, playing dead would be kind of hard. After the first bite, it would really bother you some, I think, you know. Keep playing dead. Ow, 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 ow. You play dead. He says he's also going to take care of crops. The land itself, he says, will enjoy peace and prosperity. The trees will bear fruit again, and the land will produce crops again. And God's people, he says, will dwell in peace and will finally be secure in their land, living in complete safety, showing you that even though we're here in the 21st century, it has not happened completely yet. It's coming. They will live in complete peace and in complete safety, and they won't even be afraid of the wild animals. It's coming a time. He says, you are my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, and I am your God. That's amazing. The day is coming for the children of Israel. It's coming. The promise God made to Father Abraham. It's coming. The promise that he made to Isaac, the promise he made to Jacob, the promises that he made to King David, all those are being and will be fulfilled. God said it, and it's as good as done. Notice that, even though it's still future for us, way back then, it's history in God's eyes. That's what I'll do, he says. You can count on it. God's going to do it. And that just encourages us. There's even more good news coming up in Ezekiel all the rest of the way. It's good news. Kind of encourages us to stick with it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Follow him. Trust him. Become a man or a woman of the Word. Read your Bibles. Study your Bibles. Know what God has to say to you. Know what he has promised to you. Know, learn how, study, so that you can know the difference between a promise to you and a promise only to Israel. So that you can know the difference between a promise to you and a promise to all those that reject him. You want to make sure you know those kind of differences. That's important. Let's pray together.